This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 22nd of March, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate it. Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin all coming up in the news. Indiana's Kip Thom also with us on the threat to U.S. agriculture coming from China. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com if you'd like to learn more. Also today, Ryan Martin says temperatures will be back and forth the next week. And Mike Silver, market analysis after a higher day yesterday. Coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
The threat to U.S. agriculture from China. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by McDonald's of Greater Indiana. This National Ag Week, McDonald's salutes all past, present, and future farmers across the Hoosier State. There's been a lot of talk about the threat that the Chinese government poses on U.S. agriculture, but one Indiana ag leader spoke before Congress this week to share with lawmakers just how serious those threats have become. CJ Miller kicks us off.
Do you believe that food and agriculture sector is adequately prepared for and possesses the ability to respond to a major cyber attack against our key suppliers in the ag industry?
No, we are not.
And that's Kip Thom, Indiana farmer and former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Agencies for Food and Agriculture, answering a question from Congressman Brad Finstad during a hearing held Wednesday before the House Ag Committee on Chinese threats to U.S. agriculture. Thom says he's extremely concerned about cybersecurity and that the Chinese government may be looking to hijack our computer systems and hold our data for ransom.
Farming operations could be halted by ransomware attacks, demanding payments to restore access to essential digital systems. And we all can remember the ransom attacks on JBS several years ago, which disrupted the entire supply chain from livestock production operations to the consumer's dinner table. The $11 million ransom was paid, but the cost to JBS and the agricultural supply chain was many multiples greater.
Thom also shared a personal experience about Chinese nationals who were here in the U.S. stealing ag research information and then sending it back to China.
The Chinese have targeted proprietary farming data, such as crop yield data, seeding or fertilizer algorithms, breeding information, and biotechnology research, which will lead to a loss of competitive advantage for the United States. I have seen this firsthand in the seed production industry. Several Chinese nationals were stealing proprietary seeds in our area from production fields and shipping them back to China. These Chinese nationals were caught and convicted, but how many were not caught?
Thom said that the Chinese government is also making every attempt to spy on the USDA, as well as our top ag businesses.
The Chinese are creative in their attempts to steal as much information as possible from as many sources possible from the USDA FSA offices to our industries and from any conduit that flows data or conversations.
Eric Pfeiffer has more now on Ambassador Thom's testimony this week before the House Ag Committee.
All right, CJ, thanks. In addition to cyber threats, Thom told lawmakers that China has a stronghold on manufacturing products that are essential to agriculture, with 70% of all crop nutrition products coming from China.
This is a national security threat to the United States and our allies. Imagine if they shut off our supply. Without crop protection products or crop nutrients, yields will decrease, requiring substantially more land to maintain current production levels. The economic impact to farmers, consumers, and our nation would have devastating consequences. This would lead to higher consumer prices and food insecurity in the United States and around the world.
And Thom added that China has been using agriculture to strengthen their control over the U.S. and other countries around the world.
Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party recognize the importance of food in relation to their position of power in the world. The CCP's goal is to reshape the world order through their control of the BRIC nations, global trade, and the Belts and Road Initiative, all to attain economic superiority over the United States and our allies. To meet these goals, they are strategically growing their agriculture production domestically and globally at the expense of the United States.
And Tom pressed lawmakers to do more in response to those threats from China.
The Chinese are strategically attempting to build their dominance in a world over food systems. These moves are coming at the expense of American innovation, but are amplified by our burdensome regulatory environment. The people in these chambers on this Hill need to take action to bring our supply chains home, protect our innovation, and increase our funding for research and development. Now is the time for a national strategy for our agricultural and food systems. If not, America could once again face food insecurity like we did 100 years ago.
Hear Kip Thom's full testimony before the House Ag Committee at HoosierAgToday.com and on the free Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America is a lender that has farmers' backs. With its patronage program, they give patronage-eligible customer owners a portion of their profits as cash. This year, Indiana patronage-eligible customer owners have gotten back more than $66 million. It's one more way Farm Credit Mid-America is showing up for farmers and strengthening rural communities. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. For more on patronage eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. The setup here looking pretty decent over the course of the next couple of days. Yes, we do have some cloud cover in today. A disturbance moving through the Great Lakes region is going to bring us a chance for some hit-and-miss scattered shower activity. Initially through the morning hours, it's going to be over northern tier counties of Indiana. But I think through midday afternoon and activity pop up in any part of the state, we end up with 30 to 40% coverage, but I'm not going to rule it out anywhere. So it's that kind of day, all right? But we do see high pressure in control for tomorrow through a good chunk of the weekend. It's Canadian high pressure again, so we're a little bit chilly, but let's not get too worked up on that. This is March. We can see anything happen. I think better sunshine potential Saturday versus Sunday, but we do see slightly milder temperatures on Sunday versus Saturday. Monday is very mild as we gear up for a frontal boundary that hits next Tuesday. That front is a strong one, 1/4 to 1 inch rainfall potential. I think we can see a few thunderstorms, but the best activity stays just a bit farther west and north. That frontal boundary sweeps through and gets us colder on Wednesday. Sharp drop off in temperatures, and we're quite chilly for the rest of the week. Behind the front, we are windy as well for Wednesday into Thursday. So get used to that. It's a very, very windy, blustery situation. I think temperatures try and moderate again late next week, Friday afternoon into Saturday. But we also have another strong low-pressure area trying to move through the northern plains and upper Midwest for Good Friday into Saturday. I don't think we see a direct hit here out of that, but I do think clouds are possible, especially for Saturday the 30th. I won't rule out a few hit-and-miss scattered showers. But at this point, if that comes through on Saturday, I think we are done and dry for Easter Sunday, at least in Indiana. Maybe a little bit difficult to see that farther north and west, but we'll watch that low on how it develops. That's the way things are stacking up. Have a great rest of your day and a good weekend. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
In farming, experience counts. Every growing season teaches us something. Experience counts in farm broadcasting as well. And no other farm broadcasting team in the state has the experience of Hoosier Ag Today. Eric Pfeiffer, C.J. Miller, Andy Eubank, and Sabrina Halverson, an experienced team that gives you credible coverage of today's agriculture. On air, online, and on your mobile device, turn to Hoosier Ag Today.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat end just a little higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank. It's the Thursday Farm Market Review. We'll have settlements from a back-and-forth day of trade coming up. First, market analysis which I grabbed at the end of trade from Mike Silver of Kokomo Green. Mike, the Thursday market's back and forth, a pretty promising start to the markets, breaking through some technical resistance, I believe, but then maybe some profit-taking as the markets went the other way. What was the catalyst for the back and forth?
The catalyst for the back and forth today, I think, has been the fact you mentioned it. We did break through some technical resistance, and we got the market slapped back down a little bit. We've traded both sides of unchanged so far today. In fact, in the early hours of the morning, in our open offer deck, we got quite a few offers filled last night at prices that were very pleasant to see. At one point in time, we had beans up about another 13 or 14 cents. The corn was up as much as a nickel earlier on. We did get the export sales numbers out this morning at 8:30, and we remained a little bit strong during all that. The corn number came in at 1.185 million metric tons. That's down just a little bit from last week's 1.283, but it's within the range of expectations. And in fact, we're on pace right now to meet the USDA balance sheet projections for corn. Now, the soybeans, a little different story. The soybeans actually up a little bit from last week's 376. They came in at 494,000 tons, but we still lag the pace needed to meet the USDA projections by about 3%. So we need to pick the pace up there. Unfortunately, though, it's just not the time of the year with the South American harvest taking place that we'd expect that to pick up very much. But nonetheless, a little better than last week, so we'll take whatever we can get. The wheat export sales came in at almost 110,000 tons net cancellations, and we'd expected that last week, but it came through this week. Last week, we were actually positive 83,000 tons, but like I say, this week, we were actually a little above the minimum that we thought we were going to have in cancellations. The range was 200 to 500 thousand tons of cancellations, and we came in at minus 109. So actually, we weren't as bad as we could have been. The soybean meal number came in at 243, a good number. The soy oil number came in less than last week, came in at 1.9. So we've seen the soybean market take some leadership here over the course of the last several sessions. It'll be interesting to see how we close today going into Friday tomorrow. But I think we can probably close this thing at least steady. Maybe we'll see a little green print on our quote board by the end of the session today. If I look at today's price action compared to where we closed last Friday, May corn 4 cents higher than last Friday. The beech corn's up almost 6 cents. It just did tick 6 cents higher than last Friday's close. The May beans are up 14 and a quarter from Friday's close, and our Nove beans are up 13 and three quarters right now from last Friday's close. So hopefully we can gain a little momentum here in this, I'll call it positivity in our price action. But we're still confined here to a basically a channel, a trading channel with our most recent highs acting as resistance now and our most recent lows as support. So a week from today, Andy, on the 28th, we get the planting intentions report and the quarterly grain stocks report. So the trade now is kind of in we need more information mode before we see how we end up next Thursday, which will be the last trading day of the month of March. Friday next week is Good Friday. Then we'll have a three-day market weekend there, Easter weekend. We won't be back trading again until we get into April. So that will be month in, quarter in, big report day, and pre-Easter break action a week from today. So we are starting to see some acreage estimates now. We'll start to see more tomorrow and next week as private analysts and other prognosticators of what farmers will be expected to do in terms of their acreage intentions between now and a week from today. So next week when we talk, Andy, hopefully we'll have some positive price action. That's yet to be determined, obviously, based on what kind of numbers USDA gives us in terms of the acreage intentions, the planting intentions report, and the quarterly grain stocks 1 week from today. So the market's just going to be kind of in a wait-and-see attitude as it tries to gather more intelligence. Farmer selling has picked up a little bit as we've seen this positive price action, which is a good thing. And it does demonstrate the value of having some open orders in the marketplace because, like I said earlier, we had quite a number, probably between 50, 75 open offers fill in the last 24 hours of trade. So I encourage folks, although the prices aren't at the levels that most folks would like for them to be, if we compare where we are today versus where we were a week ago and a month ago, certainly folks have been able to avail themselves of some opportunities that have presented themselves in the marketplace. And as we move toward, the 1st of April coming up here and planting season, hopefully we'll see a little bit more opportunity for prices, probably not to get to the levels that we'd like for them to get to, but certainly I think that we're entering that time of the year where planting progress and weather and acreage and everything is going to come more into play than it has certainly the last 6 months. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, Andy, and just encourage folks to take a good hard look at how much old crop they have remaining to sell and look at getting some offers into the marketplace for some new crop that they're going to start putting in the ground here in just a few short weeks.
Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain with his market analysis. Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Now the Thursday settlements up a penny and three quarters on May and July corn. May ends at 440 and three quarters. July 454. Dease goes to 476 and three quarters, up 2 cents. 2.5 higher on May and July beans. 1212 on the May. July goes to 1225 and three quarters. November 1204 and a quarter, a gain of 4 cents. And May wheat 546 and three quarters, up a penny and three quarters. Meats mostly lower. April live cattle, the only contract working higher, 188.37, up 57 cents. April lean hogs, 84.90, down 40. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.